Engine 2, Medic 1, respond, vehicle accident, with injuries. Main Street and 45th. Main Street and 45th, timeout 1328.
What's going on, everyone? I hope all is well with everyone out there. Andrew from EMT Life Podcast, welcoming everyone back for this week's episode. As you can tell, I started messing around a little bit to bring an intro into the podcast. It's kind of cheesy, but I'm all for cheesy. I love doing cheesy things. So if you like it, let me know what you think about it. I'm curious to hear everyone's opinion on it. Like I said, it's cheesy, but I'm into cheesy, so I enjoy it. I have more things planned for the podcast that I want to do. You know, like I keep saying, I'm slowly trying to build it into a better product. But of course, it's going to take time. It's a slow process, but eventually it's going to get done, I promise. So I wanted to talk about children in EMS. And what I mean by that is having to deal with children, not only as patients, but as also people on scene, you know, like human beings on scene. I've had a couple experiences lately where I've had to deal with children, not as patients, but like I said, just innocent bystanders on scene, who really don't know what's going on and don't have a choice in their situation. You can ask anyone in EMS, really, and they'll say that when you have to deal with a child, it's one of the hardest things that you're probably going to have to do. I really couldn't tell you how I cope with children. It's really challenging for me. You know, I really like kids. You know, I have nieces, nieces, nephews, and they're always fun to be around, and you always want to see a kid's happy. So when you see them injured, you know, just confused, they don't know what's really going on, they can't comprehend it, it breaks my heart, really. It's difficult, but you do have to remain professional, and you have to remain strong for that kid so both of you can get through whatever difficult times you're going through. So both these stories today, I'm going to tell you, they are about overdoses. The first one, the sheriff's office got called out for a well-being check at a hotel, and it's actually a really nice hotel, but people go there and do drugs a lot, so we get called out there quite frequently. The deputies tried knocking on the door. They didn't hear anything. They could hear a kid screaming and crying through the door. And as they were knocking, nobody answered. So ultimately, they kicked in the door, found the mom unresponsive on the bed with a two-year-old crying in the room. They called us to come because obviously the mom was unresponsive. But upon our arrival, the mom had come to. She was up talking, holding her baby. Mom was overdosed on an unknown substance. She wouldn't tell us. Narcan woke her up. So Narcan, it's indicative that she was overdosed on an opiate of some sort. And like I said, because she woke up from the Narcan, we can pretty much presume it was an opioid. So we put Mom on the stretcher, and she was still holding her baby. And we let her because it was keeping both her and the kid calm. So we let Mom just have the baby while we wheeled her out to the ambulance. The deputies explained that DCF, which is the Department of Child and Families, DCF was going to take the kid until they figured out what was going to happen with Mom. Now, at this time, Mom didn't know what was going on. She didn't know that DCF was going to take the kid. But when the deputies finally told her, she became very violent and belligerent towards us and the deputies. She started fighting with us in the back of the ambulance, all while her kid is still back there with us. Really, I am never going to place blame on mom or dad for, you know, her reaction, really, because she's trying to keep her child safe and she's doing what she thinks is best for the child. So I definitely understand her reaction. You know, my mom to this day would still do the same exact thing for me. But ultimately, we need to keep the kids safe. So while my partner and deputies were struggling with her in the back of the ambulance, I jumped out the side door, ran out to the back, opened up the back, and you know, I grabbed the kid and took her out from the back so she didn't get hurt, because mom and the deputies and my partner were really wrestling with her in the back of the ambulance. Like I said, we need to keep the kids safe. And at that point, the keeping the kids safe was our number one priority. So of course, you know, more deputies show up, and when we finally get mom restrained to the stretcher, and we restrain her for the entirety of the transport. Even in the hospital, she was, you know, screaming that all she wanted was to have her kid back. And that really struck me, because, you know, I was the one that took the kid away. Like, for me, that really sucked, and I felt like crap the rest of the shift. I was talking to my partner after the call, and I was just like, dude, I am so mentally drained after that call. I don't know if I can keep working tonight. You know, and of course, you start saying those words, you're thinking about going home. They end up calling our supervisor out. The supervisor gets involved. You know, everyone explains to me that I did the right thing, which, looking back, you know, I can say to myself that I did the right thing. But it still sucks. You know, you still have that feeling, you know, that you were the one that took that kid away, even though it was for the good of the kid and the good of the parent. You still took the kid away from the parent. And, you know, it still sucks for me to talk about. Like, I never want to do that again. It was the worst feeling I've ever had. But like I said, we do it to keep the kids safe. And it sucks. But you're going to have to do some hard stuff in this field. And it's going to stick with you for a while, if not forever, for the rest of your life. And you're just going to have to, you know, talk to people about it. You know, like I said, I talked to my partner right after the call, telling him, you know, how I felt, and he didn't judge me. You know, we work together every day for, I think it's going on 7 months now. So, I mean, we know each other, and, you know, I expect him to talk to me about things, how he's feeling about calls too. And that's why you have a partner. That's why you have supervisors, and everybody in this field cares about one another. So don't be afraid to talk to anybody. Now, the second story, like I said, they're both overdoses. Second one, the dad overdosed in front of his 8-year-old son. And this kid, I was so impressed with this kid. He didn't have a phone in the house. Dad didn't have a cell phone or anything. So the kid ended up running out to neighbors' houses, knocking on doors, trying to get someone to answer the door so they could call 911 for him. Eventually, he got somebody called 911. Sheriff's office beat us to the scene again. They deployed Narcan again. So when we arrived, the guy was up and talking. Of course, Dad denied using any drugs on scene. But when we got him into the back of the ambulance, he finally admitted to using heroin. And our job is not to judge. Our job is to fix and get to the hospital. So you kind of use that to your advantage to get them to tell you things. You know, say stuff like, you know what, the cops aren't here. I'm not a cop. I don't care. You know, just tell me what you did so we can help you get you feeling better. Stuff like that. And most of the time, the people are going to come around and they'll realize that you're not going to get them in trouble for it. So they'll be more upfront and honest with you. But before we left for the hospital, we let his son say goodbye to him. And I seriously almost cried. Like, this kid comes in the back of the ambulance, he hugs his dad. You know, he's like, I love you. I'm so sorry. I didn't want to call 911. you know, just apologizing to his dad. And he's apologizing to his dad for saving his dad's life, which is just mind-blowing. Like, I don't know why you would apologize to somebody for saving their life. No kid and really nobody, if it's a true emergency, should ever have to say sorry if you're calling 911. And the dad was pissed off at him. And, you know, even though his dad was, you know, like reassuring him, saying, you did the right thing, stuff like that, you could just hear the tone in his dad's voice and his body language and facial expressions that he was mad at his son. And, you know, that's what pissed me off. We got him in the hospital, and in the hospital, he couldn't understand why he was there, and he thought he didn't do anything wrong. And a lot of times, you just got to be straight up with these guys, and you got to be like, look, if we didn't give you Narcan, you would be dead, and I would be doing CPR on you in front of your boy. Now, what kind of example are you setting for him? So, obviously, you say that, the guy called me an asshole and proceeded not to talk to me the rest of the time in the hospital, which is fine. I don't care. Talk to me or not. I'll always try to be nice at first, but when you piss me off or do something to harm a kid or anything like that, I'm not going to be nice. And that's about 99% of the emergency medical field, along with law enforcement. If there's a kid involved and you do something to that kid, you're going to get a lot of pissed off people. We finally got back to the station. And like I said, I think I've explained this before. Where we're at, our station is also part of a fire station. The little boy was actually there. Turns out he now is staying with one of the firefighters for a couple of weeks until the courts decide what's going to happen. But, you know, we all sat down and we just listened to this little boy talk. We didn't interrogate him or anything. He just willingly started talking on his own. He told us and the cops where his dad kept the drugs, detailed information on what drugs looked like, how much there was, you know, like where it was. Really, that's not something any 8-year-old should know or should do. Like he was telling us that him and his dad make runs up to different cities in the state to deliver drugs, and they get paid for it. This little boy, I mean, he stays up till 5 a.m. every other day to wake his dad up and make sure his dad's up so his dad can go get his dialysis treatment. Like, this little boy has more responsibility and maturity, not only more than his dad, but more than a lot of people I know that and I went to high school with. And he's got more responsibility than me. And no kid should be doing that. They should be outside playing. They should be going to school with their friends. They should be enjoying life. They shouldn't have to be worried about their parents. That's not what little kids do. You know, he shouldn't be a slave to his dad. And unfortunately, that's what he was, and that's what his dad was using him for. And that's the kind of stuff that really breaks my heart and pisses me off. You know, we work with those cops all the time, and I've never seen them so mad before. They're pissed off on scene. And like I said, I see them all the time, and they're never like that. You just want to do so much for these kids. And I mean, you really can't do anything for it, and because they're just born into it. And the kids don't have any choice. They have no say in what life they get to choose. So you end up just feeling so helpless. Like I said, I really don't even know how to deal with it. I hate dealing with kids just because of the emotional turmoil that you get inside your mind. But just my biggest advice, and you know, I take my own advice, is I would talk to your partner, talk to your parents, talk to somebody about it and get it off your chest. Cause if not, it's going to be very difficult to deal with. But that's why, you know, I kind of do this podcast. Not only do I hope you get to learn some things, but it's also a way for me to vent without having to talk to someone face to face and have them judge me for it. it's kind of stupid to say out loud now that I think of it, but I think that kind of helps me doing this podcast. It helps me. So I hope it helps you too. But know if there's anything I can do for you, or that whether that be, you know, questions about the job, you just want to get something off your chest, you need advice, whatever you want, you can find me on Instagram at EMT_life_podcast and just shoot me a message over there. I will always answer your messages. I do apologize if it takes me a while, but you will always get an answer. That's all I got for this one. I hope everyone has a fantastic upcoming weekend, and God bless.